4:37, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on this Friday afternoon, we're going to check in with Lou Ferosiak, reporter on the Washington Times investigative team. He's got a story entitled Union Bosses' Salaries Put Big in Big Labor. Fascinating story. It's front page of today's Washington Times. And Luke joins me now. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Andy.
Union leaders make a ton of cash. Must have been fun researching this story, huh?
It was a blast. I mean, it barely seems like the exception when you see a union leader making upwards of $300,000 or as much as $900,000 a year.
Mm.
And here they are representing the common man. I mean, they're quick to point out that the top leaders at companies, of course, make many times that. It's not surprising to hear a CEO is making millions of dollars a year, but the obvious retort to that is unions' whole deal is they hold themselves to a different standard, and they're intended to advocate for things like equality. So there's a completely different standard, and it just seems at odds with the whole notion of unionism when you have these people that, any way you look at it, I mean, they're fat cats with the pensions and the high six-figure salaries, and many times they also bring family members on board. I mean, I'll tell you what's very clear. I mean, it's a good life to run a union.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them not only get the salary, but they get big expense accounts as well.
Right. I mean, many of them have $300,000, $400,000 a year in expenses that are reimbursed.
Mm-hmm. Union members realize this as a rule? Are they privy to this information?
The information is buried deep in government databases, and I appreciate that we've required unions to disclose the finances, but I don't expect that the average plumber has either the time or the interest in pouring through these databases. Absolutely not. I mean, I talked to several union members who one described it as we're being robbed and we didn't know it because they absolutely have no idea. They assume that their compensation is on par with the rhetoric that you hear them talking about at union meetings and things like that, and it's not.
Mm-hmm. How many did you identify? I'm just curious because I see five right here on the front page, and I know you kind of dug deep into this story, but for the most part, just about every union leader makes a pretty good coin.
Right, and the most interesting ones to me are the ones who are not national unions, but little local chapters that may only have a couple thousand members.
Yeah.
And there are several examples of very small-time union leaders who are making compensation that's higher than the people who are running big unions with 500,000 members. There's a guy who runs a union with there's a guy out in a Teamsters local out in a small area of Illinois, and the treasurer's name is Patrick Flynn. He makes $435,000 a year. He's made that for several years. But he also brought his daughter and his son to work at the union. He also has, you know, trustee positions on these various associated funds. So when you're looking at the compensation through the union, that's not all there is. There's usually also executives at the retirement fund and the pension plan and things like that. They're double-dipping all over the place, and it adds up huge.
You know, I'm looking at that right now, that one particular person you just mentioned, Patrick Flynn, and I see where the union he represents has only 13,626 members, and the average industry salary is $37,770, and yet this guy is raking in $435,000. That's amazing. And again, you point to the fact that these are not all of them are large unions. And you contacted one that basically didn't want to give you any information and told you not to call back?
Oh, it was highly suspicious because the records indicate that it's basically an inactive union that still has officers on staff. And I wanted to clear that up. Sometimes the records are outdated, and I wanted to know what their current situation is. But they were very defensive. They hung up on me several times. And I looked into it a little bit, and for decades this union has been essentially run by the mob. The guy who's making all this money, I mean, he survived assassination attempts, so they have full-time bodyguards for him. His dad and his brother both basically, the mob tried to whack them. And, you know, it's just, especially in the Chicago area, I mean, there still really are close mob ties to a lot of these union officials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't it ironic, though, that the breakdown of salaries in union offices reflect many of the companies the unions target? Highly paid executives, low paid workers. I mean, you found that in many of these unions, didn't you?
Right. I did a statistical analysis of the top union officials versus the people who work in union offices, like people who answer the phone when you call up the FIU headquarters, for example. And you see the same thing that we've seen in corporate America. The people at the top are getting richer, and the people at the bottom, their compensation is not growing as fast.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny. Some of these unions where all this money is have back groups like the Occupy crowd. You point that out, you know, fighting for the little guy, but some of these guys aren't really playing the role of the little guy. They're playing the role of the rich guy.
These are fat cats. They get all their gasoline paid for. They stay at hotels for free. All of their expenses are paid. They have private planes in some cases. It's a life that I think anyone would want to have.
Yeah, you mentioned golf outings, trips to Vegas, and the old private jet travel. That's pretty good stuff. Membership in unions across the country is dropping, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gone down a whole lot. It's gone down dramatically. Most unionized workers now work for the government. Because although the percentage of private sector workers has dropped, that hasn't been the case in public employees.
Okay.
And we've also, of course, the government has grown. We have more employees working for the government than we ever did before. So even though the percentage of unionized public employees has remained about constant, I think it's about 40% of government workers are unionized. Because we have more government workers as a whole, government workers have really eclipsed private. So when we talk about unions, by and large, in 2013, we're talking about public employees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, as I mentioned, membership in unions is dropping, with the exception of the public service employee. But that hasn't slowed internal union hiring or dropped any of these big wig salaries to any lesser level, has it?
Right. I mean, the unions have really bulked up in terms of the number of staffers that they have, the number of field organizers, and the number of people that they have in these marble palaces in D.C. at the national headquarters. They have, nearly 50,000 workers whose full-time job is working for unions. Mm. And that's a lot higher than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They really bulked up about 3 or 4 years ago during the Free Choice Act when they were lobbying on some of those issues. They've dialed back a little bit from some of those big political issues, but unions are, despite the decline in membership, they're bloated. They have more officials and more staffers working in the union offices, all financed by dues, of course, than they ever have before.
Yeah, and the union dues have gone up, right?
Yeah, they've gone up at a rate that's slightly outpaced inflation.
Mm-hmm. All of this information was provided by the unions, or did you have to go dig this out of public information files?
The Department of Labor mandates that they filed pretty detailed disclosures, which were great. The big gap there, though, is that public employee unions are exempted. Not federal level. A lot of the federal unions are there, but the big teachers unions and the other local public employee unions, they don't have to disclose anything. So all the great information, the way that we were able to actually educate some of the union members who were very shocked to learn the salaries that their leaders were making, we don't have that kind of transparency at all when it comes to the public employee unions, who, again, make up the majority of the union sphere. They go completely undisclosed.
Mm. Very interesting story. Folks, if you haven't read it, check it out. Union Bosses Salaries Put Big in Big Labor. It's by Luke Rosiak. Luke, thanks for joining me this afternoon. Appreciate it very much. Have a good weekend.
You too, Andy. Bye.
Take care. Luke Rosiak. 445, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. We'll get to Stephen Dynan here in just a couple of minutes.